Our next presenter will be Dr. Kwan. Dr. Kwan is an assistant professor in the departments of population health and medicine at the NYU School of Medicine. She directs the NIH National Institute of Minority Health and Health Disparities funded Center for the Study of Asian American Health and is the co-PI on the CDC funded Reach Far initiative to implement and disseminate sustainable policy, systems, and environmental level strategies to address chronic disease health disparities in Asian American communities in New York and New Jersey. She was awarded her MPH from Yale University, her doctorate from the Milliman School of Public Health at Columbia University, and served as a W.K. Kellogg Community Scholars postdoctoral fellow at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I'm going to be presenting on our STRIVE project, strategies to reach and implement the vision of health equity using evidence-based strategies to improve the health of Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders. And this was a project that the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum led and we co-led with. In terms of an outline, I'll just go over a little bit of background on chronic disease and the AA and NHPI communities, an overview of the STRIVE project, and then discuss the purpose of our study, our design and methods, findings and conclusion, and next steps. So in terms of some background, more than 75% of annual U.S. health care costs are spent treating and managing chronic diseases. And the major risk factors for chronic disease mortality is physical inactivity, poor nutrition, and tobacco use. And so recent initiatives, especially initiatives funded through the CDC, have focused on the implementation of high-impact population-wide evidence-based policy systems and environmental strategies, which I'm going to abbreviate as EBPSE throughout, to really address these chronic disease mortality and rates. So these strategies are, these policy and systems and environmental changes are really focused on where people live, work, and play. So include schools, work sites, businesses, housing, and really focuses on addressing poor nutrition or lack of physical activity. And these strategies, for the most part, have been developed and assessed for the majority general population. But we know that the groups that are at higher risk are racial and ethnic minority populations. So Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders are the fastest growing U.S. minority group, and a group that is very culturally diverse and speak over 1,000 languages. And Asian American and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islanders suffer from significant chronic disease health disparities, experiencing higher rates of CV-related diseases like diabetes, and also reporting low rates of physical activity and poor nutritional practices in national surveys. And so we know that underserved AA and NHPI communities may not be benefiting from these population-wide strategies that target the general population. So the STRIVE project is part of the CDC's REACH program and was one of six national networks funded under the CDC's Racial and Ethnic Approaches to Community Health Program, co-led by the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum and CISA, the Center for the Study of Asian American Health. And our aim was to reduce AA and NHPI chronic disease health disparities by really targeting that physical inactivity and poor nutrition in communities across the U.S. and the Pacific. We funded 15 community-based organizations at about $100,000 to $300,000 to implement these evidence-based policy systems and environmental level strategies that were tailored to address the cultural, linguistic, and contextual factors of these communities. So each of these 15 STRIVE partners and their CBOs had to do the following within 7 to 13 months. Develop a multi-sector coalition. They had to conduct a community health policy assessment using the CDC's change tool. Implement a community action plan using evidence-based strategies. And they received ongoing comprehensive training and technical assistance. And so this was a very quick program project. And the idea was that these community organizations should be shovel-ready, that they were groups that had these coalitions pretty much in place and were ready to go. So this is just a slide showing the 15 groups that we work with and the geographic area that they serve. And so you can see from the map where the groups are located. So they're within 10 states of the U.S. and Guam. So in terms of this study purpose, it's really to I'm presenting on the process that and identifying key themes around cultural tailoring and adaptation that the 15 Strive community-based partners use in implementing these evidence-based PSE strategies. And so we use a mixed method evaluation approach. We worked with our 15 CBOs to really collect data on the EB evidence-based strategies. We conducted first a literature review to look at the existing literature on cultural tailoring and adaptation of evidence-based strategies. And then we used descriptive data from their partnership forms, site visit assessments, their bi-monthly progress reports, and the project offering and technical assistance evaluation. And we also conducted qualitative interviews with 1 to 2 key informants in each of the community-based organizations. So in terms of our findings, there's a small but growing research suggesting that cultural adaptation and modifications can be successful. One study was a meta-analysis of 12 randomized control trials showing that culturally tailoring diabetes education interventions yielded better outcomes. There's also an absence of cultural tailoring suggested as an explanation for the dearth of really community-based promotion programs having an effect. There was also a lack of information on the process or frameworks. So there wasn't any protocols that people have been developing about the steps you should take in terms of trying to culturally tailor or adapt programs. And another thing that we ran into in trying to do this literature review is that there's a real lack of standardization in the terms. So there's cultural modification, there's cultural tailoring, and there's cultural adaptation, and people pretty much use them interchangeably. And so there needs to be a consensus on these terms and what people are actually mean when they use them. So across our partners groups, there were 263 representatives from 29 different sectors that were involved in this in all the STRIVE projects. On average, about 18 representatives or 18 distinct agencies, organizations participating per coalition. And the most frequently cited sectors were community, education, faith-based, governmental, and healthcare groups. And this slide just shows the diversity of just speaks to the diversity of these coalitions and who is represented in each of them. So in terms of a process of selecting the evidence-based strategy, these numbers, so 4 means major improvements, 1 was a major asset. So the coalitions in general were very helpful in the evidence-based strategy selection, but you can also see that there was lower confidence in the idea of evidence-based strategies and this idea of implementing evidence-based population-wide interventions. So this is one of the quotes from our key informant interviews. The coalition members come from a variety of backgrounds and have limited technical skills and exposure to evidence-based population-wide interventions. The project in our community offers new challenges and opportunities. All the coalition members will be a great learning curve as we move on with the process. So there's a lot of excitement about learning about evidence-based strategies and implementing them, but also recognition that this was a new area for them. So these are some examples of the selected evidence-based strategies. So increasing access to environments with physical activity, working with city planning groups to develop walking trails, providing opportunities for employees to exercise during the work week, so really focus on workplace initiatives, and increasing access to healthy foods through farmers' gardens, community gardens, and nutritional policies and procurement policies at meetings and shared meals. So in terms of impact of this project, the STRIVE partners were able to overcome their lack of knowledge and experience developing and implementing evidence-based strategies. And so you can see before is the blue bars and after. And so they really grew and being part of the program really strengthened their capacity in each of these areas. And then also in terms of their increase in knowledge of policy and system environmental level strategies, before it was at 2.7 and afterwards 3.9. And then in terms of reach and cost, so these are the initial population numbers that our community organization said that they could reach using these policy systems environmental level strategies within their communities. And the actual population that they reached. So for the majority of the groups, they actually moved beyond the initial numbers that they presented. And in terms of cost per person, $2.04 per person reached was the number that we ended up with. And so in terms of the key informant interviews, so we identified 1 to 2 key informants per site, and topic guides were really derived from that literature review we did, and was really focused on this idea of cultural tailoring in two dimensions, so thinking about surface and deep structure. And these all the interviews were audio taped, and we analyzed them using STI. And so this is the, I don't know how many of you have seen this before, but the iceberg concept of culture. What you see on top is very small compared to what's at the bottom. And so this is really an illustration of the idea of surface and deep culture. So at the top is 10% representing surface culture, which is what you see when you meet people. For example, it's, you know, clothing, music, festivals, their food, language. And the deep culture, which makes up 90%, is really those things that you have to dig a little bit deeper to understand, like social relationships, the role of collectivism versus individualism, beliefs and values. And so we really try to look at the idea, the process that the groups use in terms of tailoring, breaking it up into surface and deep structure. And so just another an illustration of what our groups are going through. So population-wide is really thinking about a big bullseye, everyone equally being targeted with these strategies. And in terms of a tailored approach, it's really focusing in on targeting and hitting the bullseye to enhance the relevancy of the information presented. So in the key informant interviews, the key domains were really to understand the cultural modification decisions that were made, and to think about how this influenced the population level environmental cultural factors that influence the idea to modify, really teasing out the surface and deep structures and process of tailoring across the multiple sites and jurisdictions. And many of the groups are actually working in several Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander subgroups. And so what's that process look like when you're trying to tailor something that is meeting the needs of many groups? And to really think about what are the success and reach of modified strategies. So in terms of our findings, all 15 of the community-based organizations reported that they culturally adapted or tailored their strategies, and they really used a combination of both surface and deep dimension. So, for example, they convened subcommittees to review intervention materials and really focus on refining and adapting them to be culturally relevant. A community-based approach was used. Some groups hired community members as key staff individuals to carry out the projects. In terms of more surface-level strategies, it was to translate the project materials, and there was also a move to culturally tailor sports, exercise, or traditional foods for the target population. So this is just some photos from some of our groups. And so, for example, we talked about workplace interventions. And workplace interventions really focus on large corporations and companies and focus on providing, for example, a diabetes prevention program during the lunch periods or walking groups. But the majority of our AA and and HPI communities do not work in these large corporations, and so they're really getting missed out by some of these federally funded workplace initiatives. Most of the community are small business owners or work in small businesses, and so Boat People SOS was one group that worked with the nail salon workers. And so nail salon workers are usually immigrant women who work 6 days a week, very long hours, and have very limited opportunities for physical activity. And so that they worked with the nail salon owners and nail salon associations to introduce physical activity breaks and produce videos that for the nail technicians to teach some physical activity moves that they could do in the stores and sitting in one place or standing in one place. The United Sikhs in New Jersey work through gurdwaras, which are the religious institutions for Sikh Asian Indians, and they introduced nutritional procurement policies and food nutritional policies for all the meals. Their meals are called langar, and they are food that is prepared by the community, served for the community, and open and free for everyone to come and to partake. And so it was a way of culturally empowering the traditional community service of the Sikh community, and also teaching them about nutrition policies that they brought home to their own homes. So this is an example of cultural tailoring that was incorporated into one of the projects. And this, at the surface, you know, it's talking about using cultural foods and traditional foods, but it's also thinking in the context of how do people actually eat their food, and so focus on that deep culture of context. And so while what's on your plate is a round plate, and that's the information that's disseminated, the Korean community of this project translated into a bento box, and it was more aligned to the way they eat their food. So these are just some additional examples. This is food placement and product promotion of brown rice in a Korean ethnic grocery store. This restaurant, this is a Filipino restaurant, and they introduced heart-healthy items, low-sodium items on their menu. And this is an example of just of more of a surface tailoring, where they put people that look like them on advertisements about physical activity programs. And so what we learn in this project is that achieving health equity is not a one-size-fits-all approach, that it really requires this twin approach. So targeted interventions are needed along with these population-wide strategies. And so in conclusion, our evidence-based strategies to improve policy and system environmental outcomes are critical to mitigating these chronic disease health disparities, but we have to ensure that all the communities are equally being reached and are able to benefit from these health promotion interventions. And so a one-size-fits-all approach is not sufficient. Targeted, tailored, evidence-based approaches are meaningful or relevant to AA and NHPI communities are needed. More research is needed to really understand and determine the best process and protocols for culturally tailoring and adapting strategies at both the surface and deep dimension. And AA and NHPI CBOs, community-based organizations, are trusted gatekeepers and are well-poised to implement these very impactful strategies to reduce health disparities. Within the 13 months, they were really able to reach individuals within their community and beyond, and to implement these strategies. Thank you.